Good morning, everyone, and welcome to Embrace. My name is Christina, and I'm one of our associate pastors, and I'm so glad that you have chosen to worship the Lord with the Embrace family this morning. It's so good to have you together. If you are new with us, welcome, and I would like to have you notice these blue cards in the pew. These are called Connect cards. This is a great way to let us know if you're new in our community and you would like to get a little bit more information or a little bit more connected. And even if you've been coming for a while and you haven't really like announced yourself yet, it's never too late. We would love to know that you are hanging out with us and would like to get connected. So you can fill one of these out. You can let us know if you want volunteer information or if you would like to meet with a pastor. There's also a blank space on these cards for prayer requests. We really believe here in bearing one another's burdens, and prayer is a main way that we get to do that. And so if you have any prayer requests this morning that you would like to share with our prayer team, it is kept confidential, but that team lifts these prayer requests up all throughout the week. So you can write that on the Connect card, or if you fill it out for sharing your information in any other way, you can fold it up and stick it in the box at the back or to the side door. And those boxes are also where you can put any gifts or contributions you would like to make this morning. We don't have an official offering time, but that's where you can put offering that you would like to give while you are here in the building. You can also always give online at embraceyourcity.com/give, and there's a QR code above those boxes if you just want to scan it and give online that way. You can also always submit prayer requests anytime at prayer@embraceyourcity.com. I'll also encourage you all to check out the welcome tables. If you missed it when you came in, then on your way out, you can grab one of these announcement sheets. This lets you know about all the awesome stuff that's happening and coming up soon. And so we'd love for you to grab one of these. You can also get on our email list and get the information that way too. I also want to remind everyone that we are streaming this service. So good morning to all of you on YouTube and Facebook as well. And the stream of the service will be happening on a TV in our cafe as well. So if you want to walk out this door over here and directly across the hall, follow the smell of coffee and you'll find the cafe. And so if at any point anyone needs a sensory break or it would just help you to be in a different space, you are welcome to just slip out and head over to participate with the service in the cafe. And then I'd also like to encourage our families this morning. There's still activities at the back for our students that are available, but this is Sensory Sunday, so we're going to explain that a little more here shortly. But largely what that means is we're trying to be aware of kind of all of the distractions that are possible in a space like this morning. And so if you want to grab items from the back and bring them back to the pew before we go to the Wonder Room, that's great. Or if you want to hang out together at the back and just kind of try and limit distracting noises, that's great too. But we are so grateful to be able to share our first experimental Sensory Sunday together and to talk more about that shortly. But for now, Laban is going to invite us to worship.
All right. Good morning, everyone. Good morning, church. As you'd like, I invite you to stand if you'd want to this morning. We're going to enter into this call to worship, kind of get our minds and hearts right. You know, it's a special thing to get to be together, to have this community, to get to sing some songs, and get to praise the Lord this morning. So let's join in this call to worship together. Oh Lord, let my soul rise up to meet you. As the day rises to meet the sun, glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Holy, holy, holy. Lord God Almighty, and early in the morning our song shall rise to thee. Holy, 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 merciful and mighty. God in three persons, blessed Trinity. Holy, 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 Lord. saints adore thee, casting down their golden crowns around the glassy sea. And cherubim and seraphim falling down before thee, which word and art and evermore shall be. Holy, 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 though the darkness hide thee, though the eye of sinful man thy glory may not see, and only thou art holy, there is none beside thee, perfect in power and love and purity. Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, and all thy works shall praise thy name in earth and sky and sea. Holy, 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 merciful and mighty God in three persons, blessed Trinity. And God in three persons, blessed Trinity. We know nothing is able to separate us from the love of God in Jesus Christ. Let us in freedom confess the wrong we have done. Merciful God, we confess that we have not loved you with our whole heart. We have failed to be an obedient church. We have not done your will. We have broken your law. We have rebelled against your love. We have not loved our neighbors, and we have not heard the cry of the needy. Forgive us, we pray. Free us for joyful obedience through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.
Good morning again. You may be seated. This morning, I'm excited to introduce to you this group standing here with me. We have together been the Task Force for Accessibility and Inclusion here at Embrace, and each of the families represented by the women standing here, including mine, are somehow affected or touched by neurodivergence or disability, and so it has been very important to us personally, but also on behalf of all the folks in our body who also share these same identifications, and for folks who maybe don't feel like they can participate in church yet. We want to continue to make Embrace a place where people feel like they can be welcome and can participate. And so this group has been working together for this whole calendar year so far. We have hosted a listening session to hear what folks in our community with disabilities feel like they need from Embrace. And part of what has come out of that is this morning. This is Sensory Sunday, and for those of you who don't know what that means, we are just paying extra attention this morning to all of the different sensory inputs that happen when you get into a space like this. And if you have disability or neurodivergence and you identify along that spectrum in any way, it can be very challenging to participate in large gathered spaces like this with amplification and with distracting noises. And so we wanted to make sure this morning that we are kind of turning down the overall volume and working together to try and make this a welcoming space for sensory considerations. We also have lots of different materials available. Some were at the welcome tables when you came in, some fidgets, but there's a lot of stuff at the back of the sanctuary this morning too. So to the closest to the soundboard, kind of those tables right over there. And if at any point this morning you would like to get up and grab a fidget or a wiggle cushion or a soft blanket, something to kind of feel and experience while you're in this space this morning, those items are available. And there for everybody to share. And so we want to have those things available for people to engage in worship and to find a ability to participate and enjoy this space. And so this morning is just the first experiment. We're looking forward to continuing to listen and to hear what folks need. And so one of the main things that we want to share this morning as a group is just our openness as a church, not just this task force, but as the Embrace Church, to hearing what people really need to participate and be included in the life of Embrace. And so on our Connect cards, we've just recently updated them and added some new ones. There could be some old ones in the pew, so if yours doesn't have what I'm talking about, then the ones on the welcome table will. But there's a spot on the back now that says, I have an accommodation that would help me participate. And so I would love for you to think about that, to take it with you if you don't know this morning. But if there's something in you that says, man, I really think maybe I could participate better. And we would be really excited to hear from you about what that could be, what that might look like for you or for your family to have some sort of accommodation in our worship life together. So those are on the Connect cards. You can fill that out this morning. I also meant to introduce all of you, I'm sorry. This is Nancy Heiner and Rebecca Hackey and Pastor Tanya Torp. And so that's kind of what we've been up to and what we're doing this morning. But Tanya is going to share a little bit personally about why a morning like this matters.
Thank you so much. Morning, church. Good morning to those of you online as well. 1 in 4 Americans are disabled, yet only 80% or 20% of churches actually acknowledge that. And so I am really grateful to be a part of a church that acknowledges that we might need some accommodations in our space together. I am a facilitator by trade as well, and I often say in the beginning of facilitation, this space will not be perfect, but we're going to work together side by side to make it better for everyone. And so that is what we are trying to do in this space together. I'm a mom of 2 neurodivergent kids, and I'm also neurodivergent. I have ADHD, and many of you know, it is the same for me, where it's like I'm focused on something and then all of a sudden I'm over here. So it's not always easy, especially in my work life. But this community has done so much to support and encourage my kids and me and our difference. And I want to give a special love and shout out to Felice Salmon, who was the first person who showed me that my kids could be a little bit different. My kid was pushing something and she said, does he like heavy work? Okay, I think that there might be some sensory things going on with your kid. And it changed our lives. It went from this is behavior to this is actually something that he needs and a need that we can actually meet. So thank you, Felice. I know I've told you that before, but thank you. And so as we are in this space gathered together, we always want to make sure that we try to lean into one another. And that's what this is all about, leaning into us being community and being family for one another. So thank you for participating in this with us today.
Lastly, I also just want to remind you that we do have folks who are online, and they matter just as much in the worship experience as everybody who is in this room. And regardless of the fact that we are taking steps to try and make this space accessible, there are some people who will always participate best online. And so if you ever have the ability to pop on Facebook after the fact and like check in and see if there were any comments and interact, like I would love to invite you guys to do that as well. I mean, we just want to acknowledge that's an incredibly valid way to participate too. And then lastly, I also want to just say a word about silence. So we are trying to limit distracting noises this morning, but we also realize the ability to be silent looks different for every body. Every physical body can do silence differently. So we're just working together to try and make this an accessible space. But if you need to make some sort of noise or if you need to move around, the space is available for you to do that. And the space at the back this morning, we've tried to make accessible for kind of movement or whatever is needed. But just take care of yourself and what your needs are, and recognize that each body is capable of something different, and that's okay this morning too. So thank you so much for joining us for our first Sensory Sunday. Let's continue to worship together. You can stand or sit or however you would like to show up in the space this morning.
Lord, I want more of you. Living water, rain down on me. And Lord, I need more of you. Living breath of life, come fill me up. Let's sing that again together. Lord, I want more of you. Living water, rain down on me. Lord, I need more of you. Living breath of life, come fill me up. We are hungry, we are hungry. We are hungry for more of you. We are thirsty, oh Jesus. We are thirsty for more of you. We are hungry, we are hungry. We are hungry for more of you. We are thirsty, oh Jesus. We are thirsty for more of you. Lord, I want more of you. Holy Spirit, rain down on me. And Lord, I need more of you. Living breath of life, come fill me up. We are hungry, we are hungry. We are hungry for more of you. We are thirsty, oh Jesus. We are thirsty for more. Sing that out. We are hungry, we are hungry. We are hungry for more of you. We are thirsty, oh Jesus. We are thirsty for more of you. And we lift our holy hands up. We want to touch you. We lift our voices higher and higher and higher to you. And we lift our holy hands up. We want to touch you. We lift our voices higher and higher and higher to you. We are hungry, we are hungry, we are hungry for more of you. We are thirsty, oh Jesus, we are thirsty for more of you. Blessed are the ones who do not bury all the broken pieces of their heart. And blessed are the tears of all the weary, pouring like a sky of falling stars. Blessed are the wounded ones in mourning, brave enough to show the Lord their scars. Blessed are the hurts that are not hidden, open to the healing touch of God. The kingdom is yours. The kingdom is yours. Hold on a little more. This is not the end. hope is in the Lord. Keep your eyes on Him. And blessed are the ones who walk in kindness, even in the face of great abuse. Blessed are the deeds that go unnoticed, serving with unguarded gratitude. And blessed are the ones who fight for justice, longing for the coming day of peace. Blessed is the soul who thirsts for righteousness, welcoming the last, the lost, the least. The kingdom is yours. The kingdom is yours. Hold on a little more. This is not the end. No, hope is in the Lord. Keep your eyes on Him. Oh, oh. And blessed are the ones who suffer violence and still have strength to love their enemies. And blessed is the faith of those who persevere, and though they fall, they'll never know defeat. The kingdom is yours. The kingdom is yours. Hold on a little more. This is not the end. Hope is in the Lord. Keep your eyes on Him. Sing that again. The kingdom is yours. The kingdom is yours. Let's hold on a little more. This is not the end. Hold on a little more. And this is not the end. One more time. Just hold on a little more. This is not the end. The hope is in the Lord. Keep your eyes on Him.
Just as the kingdom is His, so is all the world. Let's hear these selected verses this morning from Psalm 104. Praise the Lord, my soul. Lord, my God, you are very great. You are clothed with splendor and majesty. The Lord wraps Himself in light as with a garment. He stretches out the heavens like a tent and lays the beams of His upper chambers on their waters. He makes the clouds His chariot and rides on the wings of the wind. He makes springs pour water into the ravines. It flows between the mountains. They give water to all the beasts of the field. The wild donkeys quench their thirst. The birds of the sky nest by the waters. They sing among the branches. He waters the mountain from His upper chambers. The land is satisfied by the fruit of His work. He makes grass grow for the cattle and plants for people to cultivate, bringing forth food from the earth, wine that gladdens human hearts, oil to make their faces shine, and bread that sustains their hearts. How many are your works, Lord? In wisdom you made them all. The earth is full of your creatures. All creatures look to you to give them their food at the proper time. When you give it to them, they gather it up. When you open your hand, they are satisfied with good things. When you hide your face, they are terrified. When you take away their breath, they die and return to the dust. When you send your spirit, they are created, and you renew the face of the ground. May the glory of the Lord endure forever. May the Lord rejoice in his works. He who looks at the earth and it trembles, who touches the mountains and they smoke. I will sing to the Lord all my life. I will sing praise to my God as long as I live. The word of God for the people of God. I'd like to invite Abby Hackey to come forward. She is going to sing "This Is My Father's World" for us this morning, accompanied by Elena. All right, let's give her a hand.
This is my father's world, and to my listening ears, all nature sings and round me rings the music of the spheres. This is my father's world. He over us we in the thought of rocks and trees, of skies and seas. His hand the wonders wrought. This is my father's word. The birds their carols raise, the morning light, the lily white, declare their maker's praise. This is my father's world, he shines. I hear him pass, he speaks to me everywhere. Is my father's word, oh, let me never forget. Wrong seems off so strong. God is the ruler yet. This is my father's word. Why should my heart be sad? The Lord is king. Let the heavens ring. God reigns in the earth, be glad. The Lord is king, let the heavens ring. God reigns, let the earth be glad.
Thank you so much, Abby. That was beautiful. Just quickly this morning, I want to highlight two announcements. There's a lot of stuff coming up. Again, read that announcement sheet. But this upcoming weekend, we have our annual All Saints Open Mic Night. That's right. That's this weekend, right? Yeah, this upcoming weekend. And so if you don't know what that event is, it is an opportunity to come get together on a Saturday night and showcase and celebrate creativity among our family here at Embrace. And it's also an opportunity to remember and to honor people who are part of our larger cloud of witnesses. So if you have somebody who has been a really important influence to you in your life and your walk of faith, and you want to honor them or remember them if they've passed on, you can dedicate a piece to them at the open mic. And so this is not just for people who feel like they were made to sing in front of a microphone. Like, this is for people who want to share of themselves with our community in some way. So you could read a poem, you could sing a song, you could share a piece of artwork with us, you could tell a story if you want to, with some sort of, you know, time limit to it. We can talk about that. I'm not looking at anyone in particular. There are so many different possibilities. And so if you are interested at all in participating, let me know. If you need help figuring out what to share, I'm really good at helping you come up with something, because I just want you to do it. It's so fun. So come and talk to me about it if you need help coming up with something, or you can sign up. There's a sign-up sheet on either welcome table. Or if you don't sign up today and you want to email me, you can sign up that way too. So really, there's so many options. Just participate. It's a lot of fun. So that'll be this coming Saturday night. And then Sunday morning in our worship service, we will be remembering All Saints Day. And we do a litany of saints in that service, which is a prayer we pray where we say out loud the names of folks that have been lost in the last year. So this is incredibly meaningful for us. It's another tradition that we share. And if you have lost someone this year, many of us have, we would love to kind of honor that person with you. So please email those names to Rachel, and she will compile that list for our Sunday morning worship service. And now I would like to dismiss our children and their volunteers to the Wonder Room. This is for children who are 4 years old through fifth grade. If it is your child's first time this morning, we ask that you walk them to the Wonder Room. You're welcome to drop them or to stay, whatever your family needs. But just make sure you have the right paperwork filled out so that we can contact you if needed. So we can give them a small hand as they leave this morning. Yay.
Good morning, everybody. My name is John. If I don't know you, one of the pastors here, just want to say welcome to each of you today. Did you mention that the social is after? There is a pastor appreciation social, so come appreciate us. We would love that after church. Now, for real, though, I think they have food and all sorts of stuff down there, so come hang out with us after church if you're able to. Love to hang out with you. It'll just be right after the service downstairs. It's very low-key. Everybody's welcome to join. We're just going to hang out for a little bit. What we're going to do now is I'm going to invite Rick Bard to come up. Let's give Rick a round of applause as he comes up to the front. This is the Reverend Rick Bard coming to the front here. Rick, he'll probably introduce himself to you, but Rick is a retired United Methodist pastor, and I remember years ago, people told me, they're like, have you ever met Rick Bard? I think you all would like each other. Y'all should get to know one another. But he kind of was out in Western Kentucky, and I never go out that way, and he never came over this way. No, so we never interacted all that much for the first few years of my ministry. But lo and behold, we met, and he's at our church, and along with his wife, Debbie, and so grateful to have Rick. We're taking a break. This is going to be a hopeful message, but we're not doing our hope testimonies per se this morning. But Rick is going to share what we've been calling giving testimonies, and the finance team has been recruiting folks to do this every now and then, just to talk about like why they support Embrace and why they love to give to this church. And so Rick wanted to share with you all this morning about that. And so I'm going to turn it over to Rick before we spend time in prayer. So,
thank you, John. I love you. I love the church. And that's why I'm here today. When Dustin Pugel, our finance chair, asked me to do a giving testimony, I thought, okay, man, I need the whole day. Don't let me scare you. I got 6 minutes, maybe five and a half if I go fast enough. But really, Debbie and I moved to Lexington in the spring of 2019, having served four decades across appointments in Kentucky. We served 22 years of those years in our final appointment at Broadway United Methodist Church, and that was just an amazing experience in a growing church. So I understand in a growing church the importance of people's love, prayers, serving, giving is a part of that. But we came to Lexington excited because we were moving closer to family. And one of the really exciting things, for the first time in all our years of marriage, we were getting to choose the church and not be sent to a church. This was supposed to be a collaborative thing in our marriage, but the first Sunday we came, 6 or 8 months before the pandemic, it was announced that the children would go to the Wonder Room, and my wife, who spent her career and much of her life all about early learning, and especially early learning for children and their spirituality, when they said the Wonder Room was here, I knew one thing. I did not have a vote. We were going to join this church. Egalitarian is our relationship to a point, and then that goes away. Reflecting on why we give to Embrace sent me on a journey, and I want to kind of just walk through that journey very quickly. The first thing that just sunk down in my heart was that more than a giver, I'm a receiver. I'm a receiver of the goodness of God into my own life, and I want to tell you a little bit of that story. But first and foremost, we are all receivers, that God loves us unconditionally, that God is with us when we fall down, that it's not over when we mess up. That's called grace, and we United Methodists believe in the message of grace. I love, you know, to think about God in the very beginning gave us life. God through His Son gives us life. God is a giver. For God so loved the world, He, what's the next word?
Gave.
You can almost put a period there, as one and only Son. And through Jesus, we've received gifts that the world cannot take away from us, no matter how dark it gets, and it cannot give to us through Christ. Secondly, I thought of how much I've been given through the body of Christ. That's the way Paul talks about the church. We're a body of hands and feet and voice and action and quiet and all those things. And it's so important in my mind to raise up the fact that, you know, the church in all its weird forms, I know so many of us, believe me, even from ministry, you're going to carry some baggage from being a leader in the church. It's a part of it. We're human. As soon as you get a pastor that's not human, let me know. I want to go. We're human. And the more we let that out, the deeper the ministry goes. And it's one of the things I love about what John and Christina, Pastor Tanya, and our leaders do in general. But my story is this. I wasn't raised in the church. How many of you were raised in the church? You went to church and Sunday school from the time you can. How many of you went later in life at some point? Now, most pastors, many that I talk to, have been in church like, you know, they were born, they were in church. That's what they remember. But not for me. My family didn't go to church. It wasn't because we were mad at God or a pastor, because we never went. We were about family together on the weekends. But my family kind of hit a crisis. Basically, as I got into high school, I was super rebellious. You'd never believe that about me. Such a nice person. My sister, 2 years younger than me, was rebellious. It was kind of the day of order to be rebellious. My sister was suspended from school, from junior high in the eighth grade. I was suspended for 3 days, which I thought was a vacation, when I was a sophomore in high school. And we were both, particularly me, going down a lot of wrong roads that I won't go into. And my mom decided that the answer, once she got the call from the principal that I'd been suspended, which, again, I kind of saw as a break, but anyway, I loved the social part of school, but not so much the educational part. My mom made this decision: we're going to start going to church. I'm like, don't people go to counseling these days? I mean, isn't that what you do for your family? But then again, I was pretty open-minded. I hadn't been. I didn't know what people did inside the building. I had not been. But in the church, through my mom's decision, I found my connection to Jesus. My mother found her connection to Christ, as did my father, which is a whole big long story I won't go into. It was through a local church that I discovered my calling. It was through a local church. Happened to be United Methodist. Could be others. that I was educated in two United Methodist colleges. Not because I got kicked out of one, but because one was a junior college and then one gave me the other 2 years. I went to a United Methodist seminary. My wife was raised in a United Methodist church in Louisville. And I was, from 15 on, raised in a United Methodist church that supported me. And at 16 or 17, people in the church began to say to me, in very small leadership roles I had, there's something you ought to consider. And they'd mention ministry, and I'd think, you're crazy. But over time, I found my calling. It's all through a local church. Given all our faults and failures, God works through this body we call the church. It is through the local church I discovered those things. But you know what? I've been reflecting on how much Debbie and I receive each and every week from being connected to Embrace. This place is a light in the darkness. Would you agree with me? And I've been saying this to John off and on. We're a light for our city, not just this area, although this area is so important to us. And so when I think about how connected we are to Embrace and what we owe Embrace and the leadership here, I think about these things that impress me so much: the integrity and dedication of our pastoral team, our staff, our lead team, our lay leaders, our music leaders. I've gotten to know not all of them, but many of them personally. The honesty and quality of the sermons each week challenge us to encourage us to live out God's vision of shalom, regardless of how difficult it may be. The environment where our laments, our struggles, and our joys are accepted is huge. I love our unique footprint, missional footprint, in this urban setting, which honors our neighbors and reaches out with love and compassion to all people. I believe that makes us that light in the midst of the darkness. The generational impact we have with children through, yes, the Wonder Room that teaches them the Bible is not just verses you repeat, but it's about discovering God's presence in this marvelous book we call the Bible. Fabulous. By our partnership in ministry with our youth ministry and our partnership with Common Good are all part of that. In an image-driven world, to find a place where you are loved as you are is this powerful an experience that stands in contrast to a world where we constantly want to be told who's in and who's out. I call it grace. The number one reason we give is simply we're grateful to God and to his body known as the church. I'll close with this. So appropriate for this Sunday. I really didn't know Century Sunday was coming because I've had about 3 different dates to give this talk. But anyway, this turns out to be the perfect day because of a Century moment alone in my pickup truck driving down the Bluegrass Parkway. I don't listen to a whole lot of Christian music, but for some reason I was on the Christian music station. A song came on by Mercy Me. It was a new song a couple months ago, brand new. They just dropped. The album had just dropped. And I realized that this spoke, it just began to speak to me. And all of a sudden, in my pickup truck driving down the Bluegrass Parkway, I had this just emotional moment. And it represents what I'm trying to say this morning. It's a song entitled So Many Reasons. I want to read just a couple verses and close. The song goes like this: I praise you for the promises you keep. I praise you for not giving up on me. For all the times my sin was met with grace. Got so many reasons to praise. I praise you because you never left my side, and I know I'm not alone in the fight. And the supernatural peace I can't explain is just another reason to praise. And then this chorus. You have a way. You always get me through. When I never thought I would, you are the reason I even have a song. I've got a history reminding me of, oh, you've been so good. And the list goes on and on and on. And so that's part of my list. It goes on and on. I love you, Embrace Church. God bless you.
Thank you, Rick, for sharing that word with us this morning. You're going to have to hear 2 sermons, I guess, today. You give a preacher a microphone, they're going to preach. That's just how it works. So. No, it's a gift. It's a gift. Let's just pray together just for a moment. If y'all bow your heads with me. Just take a couple of deep breaths. God, we are grateful that you are here with us today. As we sang, Lord, we are hungry for more of you. Lord, there's a way that you satisfy our longings that only you can do, Lord. Nothing else can meet our needs in the way you can. We thank you for the reminder that Rick gave us that God, there are gifts that you give us that can only come from you. We pray that we would have that posture this morning of receiving whatever it is you have to give us today. Lord, we are desperately in need for you. When we say we long to touch you, we are hungry for you, Lord. I know many of us mean that. And many of us are so desperate and we're longing for you, Lord, because we're seeing more and more how broken things are around us, how shaky the foundations that we stand on are. And God, we're reaching out to you because we need that firm foundation that is you, Jesus. So God, we pray that you would meet us today. Lord, thank you for being here with us. Thank you for loving us. We pray, Lord, we would not just hold on to that love selfishly, but that we would receive the gifts you have for us and then turn around and pour that out for the sake of others. Help us to be about your dream for this world. And help us, Lord, to embody your dream in the way we live our lives together. Now we join together and pray this prayer that Jesus taught us, his disciples, to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. So a few years ago, I took a personal retreat. I do those occasionally, and they're always life-giving. And I remember I took one out to Aldersgate Camp. They have a deal where Kentucky United Methodist pastors get a free night per year, and so I was taking advantage of that. And I was staying there in a cottage. And it was January of 2020. And I sat at the kitchen table of one of the cottages, and I began to journal. And I began to reflect on the previous year, 2019. And I remember I wrote these words down in my journal. Reflections on 2019. Hard as hell. Last year I faced significant challenges. And no joke, I filled 3 pages. A long list of all the challenges that I faced that year. My list of challenges covered all aspects of my life. 2019 for me was a really hard year. I'm sure y'all have had some hard years lately. After I finished writing all my challenges down, I then started to make a different list. And that list had the title, Lessons Learned in 2019. And I came up with 19 lessons that I learned that year. And every single one of those lessons that I learned, they came from great struggle and pain and challenge. They weren't easy lessons, but I needed to learn them. For example, one lesson that I learned was the right path is usually not the best path or the easiest path to take. The right path is usually not the easiest path. So many times in 2019 and since then, I would face a challenge, and when thinking of how to respond to that challenge, I was tempted to want to take the easy way out. But more often than not, that was not the right path to take. Usually doing the right thing is the harder choice. 2019 was a year of training. It was a year of discipleship for me. It was a year of learning and growing and changing. Even though it was a hard year, I look back on it and it was a year of transformation, of deep change in my life, and a lot of growth. And isn't that how life works? Do y'all have that experience in your life? That through our struggles and our challenges, we often grow and change, and sometimes by the grace of God, we become better. God allows us to go through a lot. God allows us to go through incredible struggle. And I believe that even at times, God leads us into hard situations. And those challenges and those struggles are often opportunities for us to be refined and to grow and to learn. I'm sure you're not surprised to know that my training did not stop in 2019. 2020 proved to be even probably a harder year than 2019. Y'all know 2020 was a hard year. And I'll say every year since 2020 has been really hard in so many different ways. But through it all, I believe that God has been working in my life, training me, developing me, and shaping me in many ways into a better version of myself. You know, as we think about our bodies that we've been given, our bodies can't grow and strengthen without pain and struggle, right? Muscles are formed through tearing them down and breaking them down, through exercise and through hard work. And then with proper rest, they can grow back stronger. And this is true for all parts of us as people. We grow, we transform, we strengthen through struggle, through pain, and through challenge. You know, we've been talking about this story of the Exodus. And a big part of the story is that the Israelites spent 40 long years in the wilderness. And I often wonder, why did they have to spend so long in the wilderness? They were set free from slavery, but then had 40 hard, long, painful years in the wilderness. Why? You know, I can't claim to understand God's intentions and motives, but I wonder if one of the big reasons God kept them in the wilderness for 40 years was because they had a lot to learn. They had a lot they needed to learn about God. They needed to learn about one another in their community. They needed to learn about themselves. God didn't only set them free, but God was forming them into a community with a very distinct identity, and they needed training to become who they were meant to be. The Israelites had so much to learn. And they weren't going to learn through just hearing a sermon or reading a book or sitting and listening to Moses teach them. Just like us, they needed to learn their lessons through experience. They needed to train. And their training in the wilderness probably had some lighthearted, fun moments to it, but often it was very tough. Training in the dangerous desert is not an easy thing. We're going to look at a story this morning from Exodus chapter 17. But this story is actually connected to two other stories that come before it. All three stories are about struggle, and they're about lack of resources. The Israelites say they crossed the Red Sea, as we talked about last week. The waters parted, and they marched on their way to freedom. And then God led them through a desert, the desert of Shur. And in the desert, they struggled to find a very important resource. They struggled to find water. They arrived at a place called Marah, and Marah had water, and they really needed water. So I imagine they were excited. 3 days without much water, that means you're about to die. They arrived at Marah, they found water, only to discover that the water was undrinkable. It wasn't safe to drink. It was bitter and unsafe. Now just imagine their frustration. They were so thirsty in the desert, struggling to survive, and they find water, but it's undrinkable. They go to Moses and they complain to Moses. Moses goes to God, and God gives Moses a command. He says, hey, throw a log in the water, and then the water will become drinkable. Very mysterious story. And he does it, and it becomes drinkable, and they drink the water, and it quenches their thirst. Crisis averted. But then, after that, God leads them into another desert, the desert of sin. And in that desert, they grew very hungry. Another thing they needed, a very important resource, food. They could not find anything to eat. They complained to Moses, and last week we talked about this. What did God do? He provided quail in the evenings and this mysterious food, manna, in the mornings. Another crisis averted. They found food. And now we come to the story for today. God continued to lead them through the desert of sin. And they naturally grew thirsty again. In the desert, they struggled to find water. Now, keep in mind that the human body can survive for many days without food. But our bodies cannot survive very long at all without water. Our bodies are primarily made of water. And so without water, we're eventually going to die. The people were suffering from severe dehydration. Now, my question is that I've been wrestling with is, why would God lead them to another place without water? So it just happened to them in a previous desert. So they go to Moses for help. He was their leader. Being a leader is hard. People expect things from their leader. And so they go and argue with Moses about this water situation. They were dehydrated, they were suffering, and they needed water. And so they're like, Moses, we need water. Where's our water? What are you doing? Moses got mad at them. He's probably like, why are y'all coming at me for water? I don't know where to find water. I'm thirsty too. Moses got very upset because he thought that they were actually going to kill him. So things had probably gotten really intense in the community. And so he goes to God. And he's like, God, I need some help here. And God gave Moses some instructions. He said, I want you to go out in front of all the people with the elders of the community. He told them that God would stand there before them. And he told them to strike this rock at Horeb. And he said, water is going to flow from that rock. And sure enough, Moses did this, and water came forth from the rock. Then Moses named the place Massa and Meribah, which means to quarrel and to test, because the Israelite community quarreled with him, and they tested the Lord by saying, is the Lord not here among us? Moses did not want them to forget this moment when they doubted God's presence there in the desert. So back to my question, why would God lead them to another place without water? Like I said before, I cannot claim to know God's intentions, but I do have a hunch. I wonder if God led them to another place without water because it was all part of their training. It was part of their formation as the Israelite community. You see, they needed to unlearn the ways of Pharaoh, and they needed to learn the ways of Yahweh. For God is not like Pharaoh. Yahweh provides. Yahweh cares. Yahweh is good, and they needed to learn this. Turning away from Egypt was not easy for them. It wasn't a good place in Egypt, but they understood it. They knew what they were getting in Egypt. However, the wilderness was very unknown. It was risky. It was even a dangerous place. But God was there in the wilderness with them, promising to provide. They had to depart Egypt in the ways of Pharaoh, so that they could enter into the wilderness, a place of life and freedom and interdependence, a place of love, a place of God's provision. It was risky to leave behind what they knew. Some of y'all have had to leave behind familiar territory and go into a risky place. It is scary. It is risky. It's risky to enter into the unknown. It was risky to leave the known of Egypt and walk into the unknown wilderness. But over time, they learned that God was there with them in the wilderness. They learned that God provided in the wilderness, and that life with God in this new community was actually far greater than anything they had experienced before. It was through their hunger their heat exhaustion, their thirst, their pain, their struggle. It was through these hard things that they learned how to trust God. They saw God meet their needs in a dramatic way, unexpected and kind of strange way, to be honest. Perhaps God was showing them that life under the rule of Yahweh was going to be very unexpected and maybe even peculiar at times. I imagine when they saw Moses throw that log into the water at Marah, and the water all of a sudden was drinkable, they probably thought, this Yahweh is a strange God, but he just gave us water when we needed it. When the quail would randomly appear at night and then this freaky food manna would appear in the mornings, the Israelite community probably thought, this Yahweh is kind of a strange God, kind of weird actually, but he is providing for us when we need it. When Moses took that staff that he used at the Nile to turn the Nile into blood, and then he struck this lifeless rock and water flowed from it, I'm sure they probably thought something like, this Yahweh is pretty confusing and strange, but he just brought life into a place of death. Despite all appearances, water does flow in the desert. This year, 2025, has proven to be a very difficult year. This year has proven to be far worse than I actually expected it would be. It's been a year of wilderness, a year of desert wandering. We may be in the wilderness as a people here in this place and time for a very long time. But despite all appearances, water does flow in 2025. God is still working in us and through us. The wilderness narrative in Exodus tells us that God is present in all situations and that God can provide for us in all situations. We've departed old ways of living. Old ways of thinking right now aren't working for us anymore. We've left so much behind. God can and does make a way in the wilderness. There's water in the desert. These moments and times of struggle, they are part of our formation, and God can use them to bring us closer to Him, to help us learn to trust Him more, to rely on Him more, and trust that God is with us and will be with us through it all. There's one part of this scripture that I really love. And it's God's command that he gives to Moses. And I'm going to read it for you and then explain why I love it. He says to Moses, go out in front of the people, take with you some of the elders of Israel, and take in your hand the staff with which you struck the Nile, and go. I will stand there before you by the rock at Horeb, strike the rock, and water will come out of it for the people to drink. What I find interesting about this is that God did provide for the people, but he didn't do it alone. There was a rock. There was the staff. There was the courage of Moses. There was the elders there as witnesses. There was Yahweh's presence on the mountain. And all these things converge, and through them all, God provided for the people. God works in mysterious ways. And who knows, maybe you are part of a larger puzzle, that your courage, or perhaps your vulnerability, or your compassion, your activism, your prayers, your love, your service, maybe it's part, a small piece of a larger puzzle that is bringing life into places of death. Maybe God intends to partner with you to bring water to the desert. Perhaps maybe you are feeling like you're going through a really hard time. Maybe you're struggling. Maybe you feel like you are deep in the wilderness. And you wonder, like the Israelites, is the Lord among us or not? This story teaches us that water does flow in the desert, that there is life in the midst of struggle, that God is with you as you travel through the wilderness. And God is likely doing a work that maybe you cannot see right now, but he is doing a work in your life. Perhaps he's teaching you, training you, forming you. And through your struggles, you are becoming more and more like Jesus. It's interesting because in 1 Corinthians, a long time after this story, Paul references this story. And Paul says this. He says, the rock that provided water for the Israelites in the wilderness was actually Jesus. Now, I don't know if Paul was saying Jesus was actually a rock, and he was there in that rock thousands of years before. But I do know that Paul teaches that Jesus is the one who provides for us, that Jesus is the one who nourishes us, that Jesus is, in fact, with us always to the very end of the age. Jesus himself said that he is the living water that never runs dry. Jesus provides for us in a special way, even beyond what the Israelites experienced in the wilderness so long ago. And I believe Jesus is partnering with his followers all across the world to bring water to deserts in every single corner of this planet. As we follow Jesus' example of love and compassion, we join him in bringing water to a very thirsty world. My hope is that through this incredibly challenging season that we're all facing together, that we are learning a similar lesson to the Israelites in the wilderness. My hope is that we are learning to trust God more. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, amen. We're going to share communion today, and communion is such a powerful reminder of how God sustains us, how God nourishes us. Now, Jesus said that he is the living water that never runs dry, and Jesus also said that he is the bread of life that never spoils. And Jesus is here, present with us through his eternal spirit that is with us always. Jesus is here, feeding us and nourishing us. And Jesus also calls us to share his body and his blood with the world, to share his nourishing presence, that living water, that bread of life with all who are thirsty and hungry across our world. If y'all bow your heads with me just for a moment. God, thank you for being with us this morning. We thank you for this very special time we've had together today. We thank you for the ways, Lord, this morning that we are learning and growing and changing. We're grateful, Lord, for the ways that through our experience today in this worship service, we're learning how to better include other people, how to be more mindful of the needs that people have that maybe we don't always perceive. And God, we are also grateful that through the stories and songs this morning, we are learning and being reminded that you are a God who provides, that you are Jehovah Jireh, the God who provides for us, and that we are learning, Lord, that there are springs coming forth in the deserts. That new life is springing up, that beauty is growing all around us, and I pray that we would have the ability to perceive it, that we could see, Lord, your dream for this world coming to fruition in small and maybe ways that are often not noticed, but help us, Lord, to perceive it. Help us to hold on to hope. Help us, Lord, to trust in your promises. I think all of us has probably asked that question today. Is God with us or not? Is the Lord here or is God absent? Does God love us or does God not care? And Lord, we're grateful that we can bring those questions to you. And we pray, Lord, that this scripture, these stories from so long ago could give us some hope today and remind us, Lord, that you are here with us. And that water flowed in the desert a long time ago, and that water can still flow in our deserts today. We pray you would pour out your Holy Spirit on this bread and juice, that this little piece of bread and juice, Lord, would be something deep and spiritual to us today, that it would nourish us in a way that is surprising to us, that it could be sustaining to us, Lord, as we travel our journeys that we're all on. Lord, we need you so much. We thank you that you see us and that you care. Help us to remember, Lord, that the living water is flowing and springing up all around. Lord, help us to trust you. We need you so much. Thank you for loving us. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I'm going to invite those who are helping me serve communion to come on up to the front. Here at Embrace, we take communion by you'll form two lines down the center aisle. As you come forward, have your hands open to receive the bread and juice. Your server will tear off bread for you, and they will dip it in the cup for you, and they'll place it in your hand. We have prepackaged elements in the back if you prefer to avoid the crowds. We do have gluten-free options up here as well. If you need that, just let your server know. We have those in the back also. If anybody would like prayer this morning, I would love to pray with you or talk with you about anything you're facing. If God's also stirring in your heart and you want to have a longer conversation, feel free to reach out, please. We're here for you. The pastors here at this church want to talk to you and process what's going on in your life. But right now, we're going to share communion. Everybody's welcome to come. You don't have to be part of our church. Don't have to have it all figured out. If you want to know God more, then God's arms are open to you, inviting you to come. So you're invited to come whenever you feel led.
Sometimes the night was beautiful, sometimes the sky was so far away, sometimes it seemed to stoop so close, you could touch it but your heart would break, and sometimes the morning came too soon, sometimes the day couldn't be so hard. There was so much work left to do, so much you'd already done. Oh God, you are my God, and I will ever praise you. Oh God, you are my God, and I will ever praise you. I will seek you in the morning, and I will learn to walk in your ways, and step by step you'll lead me, and I will follow you all of my days. Sometimes I think of Abraham, how one star he saw had been lit for me. He was a stranger in this land, and I am no more less than he. And on this road to righteousness, sometimes the climb can be so steep. I may falter in my steps, but I'm never beyond your reach. Oh God, you are my God, and I will ever praise you. Oh God, you are my God, and I will ever praise you. And I will seek you in the morning, and I will learn to walk in your ways, and step by step you'll lead me, and I will follow you all of my days, and I will follow you all of my days, and I will follow you all of my days, and step by step you'll lead me, and I will follow you all of my days. And the sea, your river runs with love for me, and I will open up my heart and let the healer set me free. I'm happy to be in the truth, and I will daily lift my hands, for I will always sing of when your love came down. And I could sing of your love forever. And I could sing of your love forever. And I could sing of your love forever. I could sing of your love forever. And the sea, your river runs with love for me, and I will open up my heart and let the healer set me free. I'm happy to be in the truth, and I will daily lift my hands, for I will always sing of when your love came down. Sing one more time. And I could sing of your love forever. And I could sing of your love forever. And I could sing of your love forever. I could sing of your love forever. We are hungry. We are hungry. We are hungry for more of you. We are thirsty, oh Jesus. We are thirsty for more of you.
Amen. Well, thank you all so much for being with us here today. And one thing I meant to mention before communion that I totally forgot to do is that if anybody ever can't get up here to take communion, we want to be able to bring it to you. It's a big room, and so it's hard to see everybody sometimes who might need that. And so what we're going to try to do when we start next week, and we'll keep doing this, and I'll remind you all, if I will remind myself first and then remind you all, that once we're done taking communion, if you need somebody to bring it, just raise your hand, and then our servers will make sure to coach them so they look around, because we don't want any limitation to prevent anyone from coming forward. And I apologize, I meant to do that beforehand, but I totally just missed my brain. So thank you all for being patient and bearing with us. And thank you all for this great Sunday, and I'm so grateful for the whole team that was meeting for so long and continues to talk about how we can be more of an accessible place and a place that truly includes as many people as possible. And so thank you for your hard work, to all the folks that you saw standing up here, and there's been other folks involved in these conversations, and thank you for just doing this with us this morning. And I think we'll begin to incorporate more aspects of how do we help just make this a space where everybody feels at home and feels like they can worship God in the ways that they need to. So thanks for being a part of this experiment with us this morning, and we'll continue to learn and grow together as we move forward on this journey. So as you're able, prepare your hearts for the benediction. Before I give that to you, I'll remind you downstairs, we've got the social afterwards, so maybe socialize down there so we can get started down there as quick as we can. But may the love of God the Father, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all, now and forever. Amen. Go in God's peace. We'll see you next time.